I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. So what happens to the iguanas? That's just one question we have for our next guest. He's biologist Jim Ducanel. He's running a butterfly recovery program at a 600-acre state park in the middle of the Florida Keys. He's been trying to bring back the endangered Miami blue butterfly, and in so doing, has been trapping the invasive iguanas in the park. Jim joins us now from his office at OCAVE to help me here. It's spelled B-A-H-I-A. What's the name of this state park?
Bahia Honda is the way I've been pronouncing it. Half the population of the Keys will say it's Bahia.
We're going to go with Bahia because you do. Bahia Honda State Park. So first of all, describe this beautiful Miami blue butterfly, and then what's its status?
The most noticeable thing about it, it's tiny. And they're about the size of a dime to a penny. Mm-hmm. Second is, why do they call it a Miami blue? Because it's clearly gray. It's gray and black and white and a little bit of orange on the underside of the wing. And normally it sits so that its wings are closed and you see the underside. But when it opens the wings to bask, or to signal another butterfly, the dorsal surface of the wings, it's just this gorgeous sapphire blue.
Yeah, we'll have pictures at hereandnow.org. And we understand they got sort of wiped out in 1992, I believe, by a hurricane, but they came back, and now what's their status?
As far as we know, the only population left is about 20 miles west of Key West.
What is the connection between the butterfly and the iguana? Why do people think the iguana is the culprit?
Well, in 2010, we had a record cold snap. That cold snap wiped out all the tender vegetation here on Bahia Honda State Park. The first plant to come back was nicobean, which just happens to be the host plant, the larval host plant. That's where the butterfly lays its eggs, and that's what the caterpillars must eat for the Miami blue. So we had this, the last known population, suddenly given a food source. And the iguanas were looking around for something tender and green to eat, and the only thing they could find was, guess what? The same thing that the butterflies were putting their eggs on as fast as they could.
So these iguanas are eating the leaves and the butterfly eggs.
Right.
So you've made it your mission, and it's part of your job, to trap these iguanas. By the way, why are there so many iguanas there?
People buy iguanas as a pet. The owners quickly, within a year or two, discover that their friendly little cute iguana is now becoming 6 pounds, 6 feet long, and aggressive, because they're not so friendly as they get older. Yeah. And they live to be 20.
Well, this, you know, it's also dovetails with the python story in the Everglades. We know people, throwing pets to the wild. So you've been catching them. And by the way, I was fascinated that you have to be furtive because they figured out you're looking for them. And so you have to sort of like blend with tourist groups so they won't see you coming?
Yeah, when I started doing this at the park, I was able to catch naive iguanas very quickly. The term used to describe animals that have no fear of man is naive. And the iguanas here were like that. But they very quickly learned that there was suddenly a wolf in sheep's clothing here in the park. And
a guy with a hat and a net.
Right, right. You know, animals don't survive for eons by being dumb.
When you first came, you saw 40 to 50 a day. Now you see just a couple. You've been catching them. Okay, so we know what you're trying to do is bring back this beautiful butterfly population, but what's happening to the iguanas?
We tried adopting them out by giving them to a no-kill reptile sanctuary for a while. The problem is wild-caught iguanas, especially adult iguanas, don't adapt to captivity, and they will forego food to the point of starvation. And that was hardly humane. So we're euthanizing them as humanely as possible. And then to try and make something good come out of this whole thing, we donate the euthanized iguanas, or even sometimes live ones, to research facilities, to veterinary medicine schools.
Well, but let's bring it back to the Miami blue. I mean, we've heard the story of the poor iguana. But do you think, if you do get the invasive iguana out of the park, do you think the Miami blue will come back?
The optimist in me wants to say, as long as there's some left, at least two, that there's a chance. The odds are certainly not in their favor.
Well, that's Jim Ducanel. He heads the Miami Blue Butterfly Recovery Project at Bahia Honda State Park in the Florida Keys. Jim, good luck with your quest.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, for the second time in a couple of weeks, we're going to track down foreign correspondent Stephen Farrell. You're listening to Here and Now.